This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, Baruchim Abba, welcome everyone to the Kol Agada Pirka of Kew Garden Hills. We have a very interesting subject today. We have a nice Olam today. We have about 30 people together on the Zoom and on the phone line. We're going to speak about the episode in the middle of Parshas Lech Lecha, where Avram Avinu risks his life, Hishlich Navshay Mineged, and he goes to save Lot. Now, the question really is, even if Lot, let's assume Lot's a good guy for a moment. Even if that's so, which Rashi already says toward the beginning of the parasha, Vayisa Lot Mikedem, that Lot moved away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to the extent where God would not even speak to Abraham so long as Lot was in the accompaniment of Abraham. But even if we were to assume that Lot was a good person, why is Avram Avinu risking his life to save Lot? I mean, isn't that curious? Is one even allowed to risk their life to save someone else? You know, that's a halachic shaila. Is somebody allowed to put their life in jeopardy to save someone else? Certainly one cannot give up their life to save someone's life. You know, the halach is one cannot give up their life to save someone else's life. Right? My chazis, the dama, the chavrach, sumak tve. But are you allowed to put your life in danger to save someone else's life? You know, that's a subject when it comes to organ donation. And the halacha really is no. It's the Sma learns, it's a machloikas bavli and yushalmi. And we paskin, one cannot jeopardize their life to save someone else. I mean, that's a major topic. But why is Avraham risking his life to save a light? And as we mentioned, Lot is not such a great tzaddik. He went to Sodom. His direction was quite poor. Why is Avram risking his life? Now, I would say, just simply, the reason Avraham was risking his life is because he sort of committed himself to. He told Lot, Im ha-simol ve-emina ve-im ha-yemin ve-asmi'ila, which Rashi says means, don't worry, we're going to live apart from each other, but I've got your back. And perhaps that is why Avraham risked his life to save Lot, because he gave him his word. And a word is a word. But we're going to explore further what the motivation of Avraham was in rescuing Lot. If I may take a moment, Baruch Hashem, the new Sefer on Bereishis just came to America yesterday. And if anybody wants to get the Sefer, it's going to be available in all the stores, or you could go to our site, rabbidg.com. It's available with free shipping. And I mention this because there is another approach over here, namely that Avraham recognized that in Lot lay the seeds of David HaMelech. And Avraham was not just rescuing Lot, but rescuing the future Malchus Beis David. But we're going to take a different direction today. The story begins, the narrative begins, Vayehi bimei Amraphel Melech Shinar. It was in the days of Amraphel, king of Shinar. Aryoich Melech Elasar, Kedar La'oimer Melech Elam, V'sidol Melech Goyim. And the first thing is, who is Amraphel? So Rashi says, oh, who's Amraphel? Amraphel is Nimrod. She told Avraham, jump into the furnace, into the fiery furnace. Amraphel told Nimrod, jump into the fiery furnace. Now the first thing is, what's Rashi bothered by over here? What do you mean, who's Amraphel? Amraphel is Amraphel. I mean, does anybody ask, who's Daniel Gladstein? Oh, you know, he's somebody else. No, usually most people are who they are. So why is Rashi saying, he's not Amraphel, he's Nimrod. And he's called Amraphel because he told Omar la'Avram Poel. You know, what's that all about? Why? Rashi's not bothered about Aryoich. He's not bothered about Elasar. He's not bothered about Kedar La'omer. He's not so why is what's troubling Rashi about Amraphel? And Rashi says he's Nimrod. Okay, if he's Nimrod, I have a very good question. He should be called the Nimrod. And you say, okay, he had two names. Now, here's the big problem. If the reason why you want to call him Amraphel is because he told Avram, jump into the fire, then he should have been called Amraphel at the end of Noach when he told Avram to be thrown into the fire. Why wait until Lech Lecha to call him Amraphel because he told Avram to jump into the fire? Well, this is the wrong timing, bad timing. I mean, I understand he has a nickname, but use the nickname at the appropriate spot. So, if you remember the end of Parshas Noach, the pasuk says, "V'chush yalades Nimrod, hu hechelios gibar ba'aretz." Cush bore Nimrod. He began to be mighty in the land. He was the gibar tzayid lifnei Hashem. Al kein yomar ki Nimrod gibar tzayid lifnei Hashem. V'atirei b'shus mamlach toy babel. Says the sifsei chachamim, the kashal Rashi, meaning here's what was bothering Rashi. It says Amraphel Melech Shinar, but it says earlier Vatihi Reishis Mamlachtoi Bavel Be'eret Shinar. It says Nimrod was the king of Shinar, and here it says Amraphel is the king of Shinar. Says the Sifsei Chachamim, I finally identified what's bothering Rashi. What's bothering Rashi? It says I would have, if it would have just said Amraphel, I would have said Amraphel is Amraphel, but it says he's Melech Shinar, and we know that the Melech Shinar was Nimrod. So therefore Rashi says, same guy, it's really Nimrod. And why is he called Amraphel? He told Avram to jump into the fire. So, I think it's still incumbent upon us to try to understand why is the Torah calling Nimrod Amraphel in the context of the war of the four kings against the five kings. If anything, it should have called him Amraphel earlier on. Now, here's another major question here. Namely, it says, Uvi arba esrei shana ba chedar la'omer, in the 14th year, Kedar la'omer came, v'hamelachim asher itoy, and the kings that were with him, v'yakus rafa'im ba'ashtarois karnaim, they smote the rafa'im in the peaks of the, in the valleys of the cliffs, v'es hazuzim baham, fine. Says Rashi, who's Kedar La'omer? Kedar La'omer is ranked number 3 in Parshas Lech Lecha. Right? Amraphel, in the beginning of the story, it says Amraphel, Arioich, Kedar La'omer. And then, in later on, it says, V'arezer b'Kedar La'omer. Well, who's Kedar La'omer? I thought the leader here is Amraphel, Nimrod. Nimrod was ranked number 1 in the beginning of the story. All of a sudden, this team, you know, Lahavdil Elef Alfei Avdolos, excuse the analogy, you know, in baseball, the best player is the third hitter. It used to be, when I was a kid, it was the cleanup hitter. Then they changed it to the third hitter. But in the Torah HaKadosha, Lahavdil, the third place is not the prime location over here. The first person mentioned is the most important person. So if the story opens, Vayhi Bimei Amraphel, why does the story switch to Kedar La'omer? Well, so Rashi says, Ba Kedar La'omer, Lefi Shehu Baal HaMaisa. Kedar La'omer was the reigning power. The five kings served the four kings. If you look over here, in Pasuk Tes, Eis Kedar La'omer Melech Elam, Sido Melech Goyim. So Kedar La'omer was, so to speak, the leader, and therefore when he goes to war, Kedar La'omer is mentioned first. But that's very curious. Why would the narrative begin, Vayhi Bimei Amraphel, and then when the story is switched, it goes to, when the story is switched, it goes to Kedar La'omer. What's the meaning of that? Why the switch? I'm just getting a clearer version of the Levush because it didn't come out so well over here. So let's take a look at the Levush. I'll try to make it bigger on the screen here. Not that clear. Okay. So the Levush, you know that Rav Mordechai Yaffa, the author of the Levush, wrote a Perush on Rashi. And the Levush says, you know, why is Rashi even giving a drush for the name of Amraphel more than anyone else? He says many of them have a drush in the Medrash, and Rashi doesn't bring it. He says the Levush, that's exactly this question of why first Amraphel is mentioned, and then later on Kedar La'omer is mentioned first, is what prompts Rashi to explain the name of Amraphel. Namely, you read the story and you think Amraphel's the guy in charge, and you go a few psukim later and you see, no, he's really not the leader over here. It's really Kedar LaOmer. So Rashi's bothered. Why is that? Isn't Kedar LaOmer the Baal HaMaisa? Why start off Avayivimei Amraphel and then switch Kedar to Kedar LaOmer? And the answer is, that you have to know that even though Kedar LaOmer is the Baal HaMaisa and he's the strongest king, nevertheless, there's a reason why Amraphel is mentioned first. And that's because he's good old Nimrod. And he's a personality we're familiar with. He's somebody mentioned earlier in the Torah. So even though, granted, Kedar LaOmer is the mighty king here, and he's the one who is liable to suffer the greatest loss if he doesn't win this war. Nevertheless, since Amraphel is more of a recognized character, we start the story off with him, but this is something we have to investigate further. Again, why are we switching the players here? Why start Vayibimei Amraphel and then switch to that Kedar LaOmer is the main king over here? Then we go to a pasuk over here, which I think is one of the most difficult psukim to read, just simply. The pasuk says like this: Vayikhu es light, they took light, v'yes rechushai, and they took his possessions, ben achi Avram, the son of the brother of Avram, vayelechu. Now I just want to read this pasuk kipshutai. I know you're going to say, you read the pasuk, they took light, they took light's possessions, and who was light? Light was the son of the brother Avram. That's not what the pasuk says. It says they took light, and they took light's couch, and you know who light's couch was? Light's couch was the son of the brother of Avram. It says they took light and his possessions. Who were the possessions? Ben Achi Avram. It should say Vayikhu es light, ben Achi Avram, v'yes rechushai. Why does it interpose between light and then light's relationship with Avram, ben Achi Avram, and the word v'yes rechushai? I mean, isn't that difficult? Isn't that strange? Why interject the words v'yes rechushai in between light and ben Achi Avram? You know, what's going on over here? And so this question is brought in the Sefer Shar Tzvi. He says, V'tzarchiyin, d'hoya tzarch loymar, v'yikchu es loyt, ben Achi Avram, v'yes rechushai. And the truth is, I found that Arizal himself asked this question, and Arizal gives a Kabbalistic answer why it interposes the words v'yes rechushai between es loyt and ben Achi Avram. And that is as follows. The Arizal says that there was a very holy soul that was connecting to loyt, that had attached itself to light, and that soul was Rava. Amazing thing. That soul was Rava. If you look over here, the Arizal says, if you take Rashi Tevois, Rechushai ben Achi, you get the words Rava. And the point here is, one of the reasons why Avraham is going to rescue Lloyd is he's trying to save the soul of Rava, that laid dormant in the attached to the soul of light. So we read the pasuk as follows. This is quite remarkable. But vayikhu es light ve'es ruchushoy ben achi rashi tevos rava. Now says Arizal, if the pasuk would have said vayikhu es light ben avchi Avraham ve'es ruchushoy, you wouldn't have rashi tevos rava. So the Torah switched the syntax to be merames to the soul of Rava. By the way, I once saw on the Sefer Shalsu Tshuva is Shtei Yadais, an amazing chiddush, that if Rava's soul lay dormant in light, and we know light did an avera with Yayin, look throughout the entire Shas, whenever there's a memra about Yayin, the Baal HaMemra is Rava. Rava said Chayiv Inishla Besumei Bipuraya. Rava drank wine Erev Pesach to elicit his appetite for the matzah. Whenever there's a memra about yayin, it's always Rava. Why? Because Rava came from Loit, and Rava needed to be masakin the kilkel of Loit with yayin. By the way, in our humble sefer on Purim, we bring an amazing observation that if you look throughout Shas, Abaye is always saying things against yayin. So Abaye, the Baal Plukta of Rava, he's always trying to be masakin the overemphasis on yayin. It's actually very interesting. Anyway, that is how the Arizal learns the pasuk. Reb Schwab says there is a reading of this pasuk al pi pshutai, and that is, if you want to understand, you know, in the beginning of the parsha, Hashem speaks to Avram and Lot was with him. The end of the parsha, God only speaks to Avram after acharehi pared Lot me'imai. So Rashi's troubled. Why is Hashem only speaking to Lot after to Avram after Lot separates from him? Says Rashi, so long as Lot is together with Avram, Hashem can't speak to Avram. Says Rashi, what about in the beginning of the parsha? No, in the beginning of the parsha, Lot was still good, so Hashem could speak to Avram even though Lot was in his company. Once Lot turned sour, Hashem wouldn't speak to Avram until Lot left him. Now, it's quite amazing. In the beginning of the parsha, Lot was not only a good guy, but when Avram went down to Mitzrayim, Lot didn't spill the beans that Sarah was Avram's wife, and Lot was ultimately rewarded for that. So he had a lot of modesty, and he was able to cover over a secret, and he was a very loyal nephew. And look how Lot really plummeted. What happened to the man? Why did Lot plummet so quickly? What happened to him? You know, we don't find in the parsha what exactly was the avera that Lot did that made him go down in his madriga. I mean, all we know is Vayisa Lot mikedem. Lot, you know, he left it. He left Avraham Avinu. He left God. What exactly brought him to that? Reb Schwab has really an amazing observation, and it comes from these words. And that is, there are two different attitudes a person could have toward their acquisitions and their possessions. One could say, I am me, I am Pliny, and I, Pliny, I happen to have a nice house, and I happen to drive a nice car, and maybe I have a nice watch, but that doesn't define me. And that doesn't make me who I am. I'm not associated by my possessions. It just has something that I happen to own. And other people become so attached to their possessions that they allow their acquisitions and possessions to define them. In this pasuk lay the secret of Lot's downfall. Vayikhu es Lot. You know who Lot was? Lot wasn't Ben Achi Avram. Lot was V.S. Rechushai. His rechush, his possessions, became him. His money, his portfolio, his bank account, his wealth, defined him. Became part, an extension of his entity. And that's why he went to Sadaim. He was Lot V.S. Rechushai. He wasn't Lot Ben Achi Avram V.S. Rechushai. He became V.S. Rechushai. Or, another way of saying it, he allowed his rechush to interpose between him and Avraham Avinu. Lot vs. Rechushai ben Achi Avram. And because of that chatzitza, that's what caused Lot's downfall. Now, let's continue on over here. Vayavoi ha-palid vayaged li Avram ho-evri. The palid came. I'm going to veer off for 3 minutes. First of all, I see Harav Ezra Klein is on the shir, the Rosh Kailah. I want to welcome Rabbi Klein and thank him for being machzik our learning. We should continue to have siyata d'shmaya in all the kailalim. But I want to just segue off an interesting subject, just for a few minutes over here. He says, "Vayavai ha-palet." We know the palet was Oig. And he told Avram o'ivri. And it's very interesting. The palet, now Oig had a brother. Who knows who Oig's brother was? Oig's brother was Sichain. What happened to Sichain? Who's Sichain? Sichain is the other giant. How did... Now, how did he survive? We know that Oig survived the Mabul. Remember the Ben La'ashri says, Ase lecha tevas atse goyfer, as Rashi Teva is Alisa Oig. Oig went up. Oig went up onto the Teva. And another remez is, Rabbi Shur Leib Diskin says, Hashem said, Kol Ashebacharav Yamas, Kol Basar, it says, Kol two times. Ein riboy acharibuy elo lemait. Who is a memait? Everything was destroyed except for Oig and Sichain. Or as the Balaturim says, Vayishoyar ach noyach. It's a double negative. Double negative means ach noyach lerabois Sichain and Oig. Oig we know about. Oig, the Pirkei Rabbi Elazar says, was hanging on to the ladder of the Teva. Where is Sichain? Sichain, I saw an amazing Rabbeinu Bechaye in Parshas Chukas. You know why Sichain's not mentioned? We know only eight people survived. Noyach, his wife, his three kids, and their wives. No, Sichain also survived. Sichain survived? Where was he? So the Ben Yoyada says he went to a very tall mountain, and I don't know what he was doing there. He went to a big mountain. Rabbeinu Bechaye says something which is Oyam V'Noira. Oig is a giant, yeah? Why was he so big? When the Bnei Ho'elokim came down from Shemayim and they lived with the Bnei Ha'adam, so they produced big people. The first person they produced was Oig. This Malach's name was Sham Chazael, Rabbeinu Bechaye says. He then lived with one of the wives of Noach's kids. Now, listen to you. Then lived with one of the wives of Noach's kids. Noach's kids' wife was pregnant with Sichain. Says Rabbeinu Bechaye, you know why Chum was Meshamesh on the Teva? Because he knew his wife was Mezana. And to cover it over, he lived with his wife so that when his wife would bear a child, they would think Chum's the father, but really it wasn't. It was the Malach. You know who Chum's wife was pregnant with? Sichain. The reason why we don't find that Sichain was in the Mabul is because he wasn't. He was in the Teva. The reason why the Torah doesn't say he was in the Teva is because he was actually in the wife of Chum. Okay, now back to the narrative here in Lech Lecha. Vayishma Avram ki nishba achiv. Avraham heard his brother was captured. Huh? Avraham doesn't have any brothers. Vayarak eschanichav yulidei vesah ishmoina asor shlosh mezayirdoif adon. Avraham heard his brother was captured. Avraham doesn't have a brother. Now this is not the first time Loit is called Avraham's brother. If you remember earlier on, Vayomer Avram Eloit, Al Nosihi Mariva Beini Venech Venera. We shouldn't fight. Ki Anoshim Achim Anochnu. We're brothers. Now, not every time Avram and Loit are referred to are they called brothers. If you remember in the beginning, by that difficult pasuk, it says Veloit was Ben Achi Avram. So sometimes the Torah gives us the precise relation. And other times it says they were brothers, and Rashi's bothered earlier on the parasha, why was Loit called a brother? And Rashi says he's called a brother because they looked the same. Avraham looked like Loit. Doimin beklaster panim. So the maskil of David is bothered earlier on the parasha that, okay, why does the fact that they look the same, why is that a reason not to fight? So the maskil of David says, because if they look the same, they must come from a sharish, the same sharshan neshama, and that means they're sort of, you know, connected at the hip, and it's not appropriate for them to fight. And then the maskil David brings a pashup shot. By the way, you know the maskil David? The maskil David is a Rav David Pardo. He wrote one of the classic perushim on Rashi. He also wrote a perush on the Tosefta called Chaste David. And I had this chus, too, over the last couple of years to find his kever on Har HaZesim. Not that, you know, I'm sure many people have been there, but it's very hard to read his kever. And in the, I believe, the lower area, you know, in the area of the Or Chaim HaKadosh and the Pri Chadash, is buried the Maskil of David. And he says, very pashut, because Avram looked like Lot, Avram said to Lot, this is not a good idea for you to be grazing your animals on other people's fields, because people are going to suspect it's me. So therefore, we have to separate from each other, because I don't want people being choshed me that I'm not muzzling my animals. So now we understand why earlier on in the parsha, Lot is referred to as the brother of Avraham, namely that he looked like Avraham. But why in the context that Avraham is going to rescue Lot, does the Torah have to say, and Avraham heard the guy who looks like him is captured? Why is that relevant? That's the reason why Avraham is going to rescue Lot, because Lot looks like him? So the Sefer Kehilas Mordechai asks, V'yesh ledaktik, Eich amar achiv aloy loya ben achiv. And furthermore, why is Avraham being Moiser Nefesh to save him? So let's begin with the following unbelievable pshat. I remember many years ago, seven years ago, I spoke in Memphis, Tennessee. And the rabbi there, I think his name is Rabbi Feigenbaum, he spoke Friday night. And he said over at Dvar Torah about the war of the four kings and the five kings. And he quoted Maran Rabbi Avadya Yosef, an amazing pshat. And I asked him, really, where does Rabbi Avadya say this? He has a Torah on the Chumash. I know he has a halacha, Yabi Yomer Yachav Adas. He said, no, I heard him say it. He said, you heard him say it? That's pretty amazing. Yeah, he said when he was learning in Eretz Yisrael, he heard Rabbi Avadya, who, by the way, his yard site was this past Shabbos. I said, wow. So I try to find, where is this in print? And in my one of my favorite svarim called Mesois Tevel, which is a sefer of stories about Rabbi Avadya, they quote Shiure Rashal, Shira Rishon Letzion. Oh, Gedalia, you're on. So I looked it up. Rabbi Gedalia just got me four volumes, Shiure Rashal, Shirim of Rishon Letzion. And sure enough, it's recorded in that Rabbi Avadya said this. But I want to begin by finding an earlier source, namely the Ran Al HaTorah, that the Ran says, the reason why Avram Avinu got involved in this war, I guarantee you, it's not typical of Talmidei Chachamim to close their Gemaras and enter a war that they're not involved in. That's the last thing any tzaddik wants to do. But he knew that the reason why Kedar LaOmer may have fought the war is because he had monetary gain over here, because the five kings were serving him, and he stood to lose all that income. But Avram Avinu knew there's another king over here who he has no financial incentive to be involved in this war, other than he is fighting this war, a melchema against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Namely, he was trying to capture Lot. He was trying to score a victory against the family of Avram Avinu. Nimrod did not hate Lavan b'tainas mamon, but since he knew that Lot was associated with Hashem Yisbarach, he couldn't attack God directly, and the way he chose to do so was by attacking Lot. But let's develop this further. The Sefer Sha'ar Tzvi points out, Amraphel is Nimrod, as Rashi says in the opening Pasuk. And why is he called Nimrod? Because he told Avram to jump in the fire. And we know there's an age-old battle between Nimrod and Avram Avinu. This is like the Battle of the Titans. That while Nimrod is trying to persuade the whole world to have Avodah Zarah, Avram Avinu is soicer him. And when they had that epic battle, and Nimrod threw Avram into the fire, Nimrod was utterly ashamed and embarrassed because the whole world recognized Ki Hashem Hu Aleichem. And Nimrod really was despondent for the rest of his life, knowing that people thought that Avraham Avinu one-upped him and that it was clear, Einoid Movadai. But Nimrod had an Einfal. You know what the Einfal was? He could get back at Avram. he could kidnap Avraham. Not that he would ever dare to go to Avraham and kidnap Avraham directly, because he knew he would never win that war. But Avraham's nephew Lot was a spitting image of Avraham. And what he could do is, he can go and capture Lot. And then the whole world will see that maybe in round one, Avraham won, but in the bottom of the ninth inning, when push came to shove, and Avraham Avinu and Nimrod went at it for one last time, not only did Nimrod win, Nimrod captured Avraham, and he could chain him up, and he could parade him, and he could burn him, chas v'shalom. So this was Nimrod's plan, that ultimately he would be able to get back at Avraham. And that is why the pasuk emphasizes, Vayishma Avraham ki nishba achiv. Avraham heard his brother was captured. Why is the Torah saying that in this context that Lot looked like Avraham? That's irrelevant. What does this piece of information have to do with the fact that Avraham went to save Lot? The answer is, why do you think Avraham went to save Lot? Avraham went to save Lot because, not because he was being nice to his nephew, not because Avraham felt bad for Lot. Avraham did it because otherwise it would be a chilul Hashem, because word would get out that Nimrod captured Avraham. That's why in this context, Vayishma Avraham ki nishma achiv, says Rabbi Avadya Yosef. You know why Avraham was Moser Nefesh? It's not for Lot, it was L'kvoit Shamayim. Because when Nimrod threw Avraham to the fire, Nimrod was done, his career was over. But now Nimrod has this great idea how he could get back at Avraham. Says the Sefer Kehilas Mordechai. I never heard of that Sefer before, not to be confused with our shul, but the Sefer Kehilas Mordechai, he brings a story. And I do not believe this story appears in any Medrash, nor do I believe this story ever happened. He says he heard it from a Darshan. I think this story is more of a mashal than an actual Medrash. But here it goes. We know Avraham Avinu is a great machnis oireach. And one time, Nimrod was on the road, and Avraham, kedarka bekoidesh, was machnis Nimrod. And he gave him home and board for 30 days. Afterwards, when Nimrod wanted to leave him and to travel, so Avraham gave him a todah rabba. Nimrod said, thank you very much. So Avraham said, what do you mean, thank you very much? You just stayed in my house for 30 days. I charge $970 a day, plus you drank the water in your personal fridge, which is another $17, plus you used the shampoo, and plus you ask for an extra towel. So your bill comes out to $1,700 a day. So Nimrod said, well, I don't say that. I thought they said you're the big machnes oireach. You're more expensive than the Hilton. Why should I be worse than anybody else? You know, you house Arabs for free. What about me? Avram said, you? I don't understand. I only house Bnei Adam for free. But you, Nimrod, you're a god. You claim you're God. I charge God money. I don't charge people money. Gods have to pay. So Nimrod said, okay, what do I owe you? So Avraham said, look, you owe me $50 billion. Nimrod said, for what? Avraham said, for all the people that I housed that I was never able to charge. So Nimrod said, what kind of usury is that? What kind of financial... abuse is that? I thought you were a nice guy, Avraham. Now you're a goslin? No. Avraham said, look, God has to pay me back for all of my hachnasas orchim. Not only that, all the people that I housed for free and I didn't take one pruta, they all blessed me. God should pay you back. So now that God is here, I would like to collect. You know, here you are. Now it's time to pay me back. And now they said God should pay me back a thousandfold. So here's the bill, God. And Avraham took out an exact cheshbon, he took out a calculator. And Nimrod said, I left my credit card at home. Avraham said, I take American Express. So Nimrod said, I only have a $10,000 max. No way I could pay this up. Avraham Avinu said, no problem, you have Visa, you have American Express, you could sell me the money, however you want to get it to me. And Nimrod said, look, I'm not a god. I'll tell you the truth. I'm not a god. I would like to get my stay for free. Avram said, no problem. Just sign right here that you are not God. So Nimrod had no choice, and he signed on a piece of paper. I, Nimrod, ben Cush, ben Pliny, ben Almoyni, I am not a god. And therefore, whenever Nimrod went around the world claiming that he's Gibar Tzayid, Avram Avinu was wagging this tzetel that Nimrod signed away for him that he's not a god. I don't think this story appears in a Medrash. I think this is just highlighting the thorn that Avraham was in the side of Nimrod. In other words, whatever Nimrod wanted to promulgate and promote and disseminate in the world, he knew that Avraham was around, sort of Avraham's existence and presence sort of demonstrated that that is not the case. And therefore, Nimrod wanted nothing more than to capture Lot, because if he can't get at Avram, at the very least, what he could do is he could capture Lot. Now, says Levush, Davar Oyon V'Noira, says Levush, you know why Rashi has to identify Vayehi Bimei Amraphel? Who's Amraphel? Nimrod. It's because, says Levush, the Torah is not a history book. The Torah is not a chronicle of war. You think the Torah is written to record ancient war? We need to know that five kings rebelled against Kedar La'Omer. That's all irrelevant. That's how the New York Times, Lahavda, would report it. But if you want to know why is this in the Torah HaKadosha, Vayhi Bimei Amraphel, who's Amraphel? Nimrod! And the reason why this whole story happened is because Nimrod tried to capture Lot. Now, if you read the story in the papers, they would report it. It was a political battle. Kedar La'Omer was the supreme king, and he had under his reins five kings, and they rebelled. And Kedar La'Omer, to boost his economy, went to war. And the fact that Amraphel was in it, he's a minor player. That's how the newspaper would report it. But if you want to know why this is in the Torah HaKadosha, Vayihi Bimei Amraphel. This was Nimrod's way of getting back at Avraham Avinu. If I can't get him, let me at least get his lookalike. Let me get his clone. And therefore Rashi has to say Amraphel's not Amraphel. Amraphel is Nimrod. Now, watch this. I would humbly suggest that is why Amraphel is mentioned first in the opening of the narrative. Because politically, this was not Amraphel's war. This was Kedar La'Omer's war, as the Psukim delineate further on. But in the opening of the narrative, what the Torah is saying, if you want to know why the Torah HaKadosh is reporting this, it's not about Kedar La'Omer. It's about Nimrod. It's about Nimrod trying to get back at Avraham Avinu. That's why it's recorded. So, yes, if you would read the story, it's Kedar La'Omer. But if you want to dig a little deeper and why this is in the Torah, it's all about Vayihi Bimei Amraphel. Now, the Levush says something, Oyon V'Noira. Says the Levush, the greatest simcha in this world is revenge. Now, it doesn't mean revenge against your friend, your fellow Jew, but revenge against the Rasha is one of the greatest joys in life. In fact, and maybe you don't like how this sounds, part of the schar of Olam Haba is witnessing God take retribution against the Rasha'im. Yismach tzadik ki chaza nakam pa'amav yirchatz bedam harasha. You know what the joy of Olam Haba is? God will take all the tzadikim and will take all the Rasha'im, all the Nazis and German accomplices, and they will be tortured, and that will be the joy of the tzadikim. They will remove their socks and dip their feet in the blood of the wicked. Huh? Who says that? David HaMelech in Tehillim. Yismach tzadik ki chaza nakam pe'amav yirchatz bedam harasha. Therefore, says the Levush, God wanted to bring joy to Avraham Avinu. And God set up this whole thing. What do you mean the Ribbono Shel Olam wanted to bring joy to Avraham Avinu? By the way, who told Avraham Avinu that Lot was captured? The Pullet. Who is the Pullet? Oig. What did he escape from? He escaped from the Melchama. That's what it says. Kirak Oig Melech HaBosha Nishar Miyasar HaRafoyim. Says the Levush. It's very small here. I'll try to make it bigger. I'll read to you from my copy. Or what can I say? I guess you'll have to get the Sefer where this Maimar is fully elucidated. The Levush says that if you look in the Gor Aryeh, why Oig Melech HaBashan lives so long? Says the Levush, look, it seems to be very philosophical to me, and there's what to ask on it. Maybe it's Divrei Nevuah, and we can't question it. But Levush says, if you wanted to know why Oig lives so long, I don't feel it's a question at all. In my opinion, says the Levush, the Ribbono Shel Olam knew that this would be a very intense war. And no regular mortal would be able to be saved from such a war and go tell Avraham that Oig was captured. Only someone battle-tested and a giant of the caliber of Oig Melech HaBashan would be able to survive such an intense battle to be able to go to Avraham and tell Avraham his brothers was captured. Says the Levush, in my opinion, maybe it wasn't the zechus of Lot that allowed him to be saved, but rather this was all a setup by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be Mesameach Avraham Avinu to see revenge. Because says the Levush, I ask you a question. You know, Avraham Avinu, he's a young man. And he's thrown into a fire because he was Moser Nefesh to break the idols of his father. And the mighty king of the world threw him into a fire. By the way, Avraham Avinu didn't know he would survive. Avraham Avinu didn't jump into the fire because he knew God would make a miracle. Avraham Avinu really thought he would not survive that great fire, but he did it anyway. And after that, he had to run away for his life. And Avraham Avinu may have thought, okay, God loves me. He made me great. He took me to Eretz Yisrael. He gave me wealth. He gave me a child. But why did I have to suffer that trauma as a young man being thrown into the fire? That was, so to speak, an unresolved mystery to Avraham Avinu, why he had to undergo that. And therefore God said, before you, Avraham Avinu, come upstairs to Olam HaEmes, I want you to see and rejoice in the revenge against Nimrod. Because the Levush suggests that later on in life, when Nimrod saw the power of Avraham, and that he was saved from the fire, and his wealth, and his honor, after all, in this week's parsha, Hu Emek HaMelech, the whole world got together and proclaimed Avraham Avinu as king. Nimrod, says the Levush, it's likely, like Avimelech, went to Avraham, and he made a peace treaty with Avraham. Like all smart Gentiles, they come running to make peace treaties with Jews. Why? Because they know they could break it and we keep our word. That's what they always did. So even though we don't have evidence to this, it's very likely, says Levush, that Nimrod made a deal with Avraham. Look, I don't harm you, you don't harm me. And so to speak, now Avraham Avinu would never be able to see the revenge against Nimrod. But listen to how the Mesavev Kol HaSibos orchestrates what occurred over here. Hashem put an idea in Nimrod's mind. You know what? Let me finally get back at Avraham and capture Lot. By capturing Lot, what is Nimrod doing? He's violating his peace treaty with Avraham. Ooh, you're violating the peace treaty with Avraham. Now Avraham is not bound by his treaty with you. Now Avraham could come and kill Nimrod. So this whole story in Lech Lecha, Lech Lecha begins. Vayomer Hashem el Avram, lech lecha, me'artzecha, lecha, lehanoscha, letoivascha. You're going to have money, you're going to have wealth, you're going to have children. And not only that, but now Avraham Avinu will be able to ultimately see the revenge against Nimrod. So now that Nimrod attacked Lot, now listen to this. Oignu, because Oig wanted Sarah. So he was Mavasar Avram, so that Avram should get killed and he would marry Sarah. But Avraham, when he heard this, he says, this is great news that Nimrod captured Lot. Because if he captured Lot, I could kill Nimrod. And he was batuach b'Hashem, that Hashem would help him, and he went against him. And Hashem kept Oig alive, as because he'd be the only one to be able to survive the war, to tell Avram Lot was captured. And this way, ultimately, Avram Avinu would be able to experience the Yismach Tzadik Kichaza Nakam Pa'amav Yirchatz Bedam HaRasha. And therefore, the narrative begins. Vayhi bimei Amraphel. Huh? Amraphel? Who's Amraphel? Well, maybe Amraphel is Amraphel. No. Amraphel is Nimrod. Why is Nimrod mentioned first? He's not the Baal HaMaisa. You're right, he's not the Baal HaMaisa. Politically, he's not the Baal HaMaisa. But if you want to know why the Tarak Dosha records this episode, it's all so that, A, we understand why Nimrod got involved. Nimrod got involved because if he can't get Avraham, at least get his lookalike. And that's why Davka in this context, Lot is called Vayishma Avram Kinishba Achiv. And that, says Rabbi Avadya, and earlier the Ran, is why Avraham got involved, because he didn't want there to be this Chilul Hashem. But now that Nimrod attacked Lot, so now Avraham was permitted to violate the treaty, because Nimrod already abolished it. And by Avraham winning this war and rescuing Lot, not only did he rescue Lot, and not only did he rescue the seeds of David HaMelech, and as we said, the neshama of Rava, but he was able, at the end of his life, to see the revenge of the Rasha who attacked him earlier on in life. So Parshas Lech Lecha teaches us that even though Avram Avinu's life started off difficult, and he had to run away from Mayladetecha, and he had to run away Mibeis Avicha, and he had to run away from Nimrod, but ultimately the Ribbono Shel Olam evens the score, and Avraham was zoicha to have that simcha b'soif yomav of Yismach Tzadik Kichaza Nakam. That's why the narrative begins, Bimei Amraphel. And we asked, what do you mean if he's called Amraphel because he threw Avraham into the fire? That should have been mentioned earlier. No! This is the juncture where we need to know why Nimrod was called Amraphel, because that explains why he got involved and why this story is mentioned in Torah in the first place. Okay, Rabbi Isai, thanks for joining today. Bracha v'atzlacha. Have a great day. And until next time, we'll see you if anybody wants to join our shir today at 5 p.m. on the Archos Chaim of the Rush. You're welcome to join us 5 p.m. Thank you very much. Kol tov.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.